Take your Bible, if you would, and go back to the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 14 is where we will begin again today. Last week, we found ourselves in chapter 14, verses 22, all the way to verse 33. I'd like to read the text again, just because I love the Word of God. I believe you hearing the Word of God will afresh and anew lay the foundation here as we started a series that I entitled last week, Let's Take a Little Walk. Let's go for a little walk. And we've been looking at Peter as he physically walked on the water. And we've been likening what Peter did physically to a spiritual walk upon the water. And I want to continue that series this morning. Verse number 22, the Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit or a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." It's funny how the Lord is always so contrary to our thinking. "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water." Would you say those four words with me, please? "To go to Jesus. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately," that's how Jesus does his saving, by the way, immediately, "Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." I've been just contemplating this passage and thinking about my own life, thinking about the life of our church, thinking about the Word of God here. And I wanted to preach a series that just would encourage us and inspire us. I was at I was in Wisconsin a couple of weeks, and I spoke 8 times in 5 days, but they had other preachers that were there. And one of the preachers did a seminar to preachers about the importance of preaching enlistment messages to your congregation, preaching messages of encouragement, inspiring your people to trust the Lord, to see what God has for them in their life, and to step out by faith and do what God has called them to do. And I was smitten in my spirit as I sat there and listened to that. And I thought, you know, God, that's what I want to do. I want to preach your word to the people. I want to be faithful in the preaching of the word to your people. But I want to preach the word with power and vision and encouraging us as individuals to step out and encouraging us corporately to step out and to do what God has called us to do. And so as I was pondering that and thinking about that, God laid this passage of scripture upon my heart. And really and truthfully, the motive for this series is to encourage God's people to step out upon the Word of God, to trust the Lord, to what God is calling you to do. Most of God's people just kind of fall into a routine, into a safety and a sameness in their Christian life, in their Christian walk. Many of the times that's frustrating to us as individuals. We want out of it. We don't want the mundane and the mediocrity that we find ourselves in. We find ourselves with boredom. We find ourselves with frustration there. But many times when we're confronted with the call of God as to what he has for us, it's so frightening and so scary and it's so unknown. And so it's interesting. We have this desire, but there's this fear that just grips us and keeps us from stepping out. And so I wanted to encourage us spiritually to begin to walk on the water. And what do I mean by walking on the water? I really just mean recognizing what God has for you in your life, and the call of God and God's plan for what he has for you. And that moment where you step out, to walk on the water is really a walk of faith. And a walk of faith will always be a walk on the Word of God. Sometimes we get so confused as to what faith is, and we think that faith is somehow just some leap in the dark, and we're not sure what's going to happen, but we're stepping out by faith. That is not a biblical definition of faith, nor is that an encouraging definition of faith. Faith is not stepping out into the dark. Faith is really stepping out on the light of God's Word. A walk of faith is always a walk on the Word of God. Now, I promise you that when you walk on the Word of God, it's scary. And when you put yourself out there where you're vulnerable, you put yourself in a position where all of your weight is put upon the Word of God and the person of Christ. And really and truthfully, if God doesn't come through, then you're through and you're finished. If God doesn't meet our need here, then we're in trouble. And so really and truthfully, we're talking about a Christ-centered life, a Spirit-filled life. We're talking about an adventurous life. I would dare say that if we polled most Christians, they would show very weak on the fact that the Christian life is exciting and adventurous. And I would submit to you that that's not God's fault. There's wonderful adventure and excitement with the Lord. He's always moving and going places. The problem rests with us as our vision and as our thought process and what we keep there. And so really and truthfully, I'm encouraging us in a spiritual walk where we step out by faith. Pastor, why would anybody want to walk on the water? Well, there's really only two reasons, and we talked about that last week. First is dissatisfaction with boat life. And so I'm putting the question to you. Are you satisfied where you are serving the Lord? Some people may answer yes to that. Do you feel like that you're serving the Lord in the way that you're organized your life in some aspects that you are walking by faith? And you're trusting the Lord and you're walking on that where it's not this boat of mundaneness and sameness, but you've already launched out. Maybe launching out for you was taking a place of service in the church. Maybe launching out for you was getting right with a friend, or maybe launching out for you was some kind of spiritual commitment or some kind of move there. And you feel like I am walking on the water. Or are you here today thinking, man, I sure would like to do something more in serving the Lord. I'm sick and tired of just the monotony or the sameness or the boredom or the routine. There has to be something more to this Christian life than what I am doing. Let's always remember this. There is no measurement to the Christian life from height to depth. Why? Because the Christian life ought to be the Christ life, right? And my goodness, there is no limit to what our Lord Jesus Christ can do. So why would anybody want to step out and walk on the water? Well, there's got to be the dissatisfaction with boat life. And then the second reason we looked at last week is what Peter said here in verse number 29 when Matthew was writing this. He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And that really and truthfully is the only reason that you would ever want to step out of the boat per se and begin to walk on the water is because you understand where you are going, and you're going to Jesus. Jesus is where the action is. Jesus is where everything you need is. Jesus is the heart. He is the satisfaction. He is the provision. He is the adventure. He is the one going forward. And so many times we kind of want Jesus to join us in our boat and join us in our plan. And reality, Jesus doesn't want to get in our boat per se of mundaneness and sameness. He's working the will of the Father. He's moving according to his great plan. He's going forward to make sure the peoples of the world hear the gospel through the church. And I don't know about you, but I want to be with him. So when I get out of that boat, there's only two reasons I would ever leave the boat. Number one, I'm bored. I'm just frustrated out of my mind with the mundane and the monotony and the sameness. And I want to go to do what Jesus is calling me to do. Now, I said at the end of the message last Sunday morning that if you're not careful, a message like this can hurt you bad spiritually. I don't know how often preachers will say something like that about messages we preach because we want our messages to bless people. But this type of message can hurt you really, really bad if you're not careful. Pastor, how could that possibly be? Look, if you would, at verse number 28, please. In verse number 28, I said there would be some realities, some things you need to know about walking on the water last Sunday night. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And so the very first thing that Peter did before he got out of that boat was he made sure he was talking to Jesus. Right? So he identified who was out there. He identified that it was the Lord that was calling him. Peter didn't just step out on the water for a whim. It's not where Peter just thought, man, this is going to be cool. I'm getting out of the boat. No, the first thing he did, he said, Lord, is it you? And here's where people get themselves in trouble. People get themselves in trouble by making life-changing decisions when God didn't call you to do it. It's one thing to have zeal, and it's one thing to have interest, and it's one thing to have good intention, and it's one thing to do those things. But if you're going to get out on a boat, and you're going to put yourself in a position of vulnerability, and you're going to put yourself in a position to walk by faith, you need to make sure that it is the Lord Jesus that is out there. You need to make sure that it's the Lord Jesus that you're walking to. And secondly, what Peter did is he said, now, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said one word. And Jesus said to him, come. So as I'm identifying in reality, I need to identify that this is Jesus. And then Jesus will always confirm it's him by his word. Now let's talk about the Bible. We believe it to be the absolute truth of the word of God. Amen? The Bible says about itself that it is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my way. The Bible talks about the fact that it will guide and direct our steps. So in the average Christian heart and mind, you get confronted with an opportunity or you get confronted with a thought process. You get confronted with something that challenges you in your mind outside of your routine. And so if you're smart biblically as a Christian, the first thing you want to do is, okay, Lord, is this you speaking to me? Is this you presenting me an opportunity? I feel you moving in my spirit. If you understand that statement or have ever experienced that, would you say amen? Amen? Very different than you getting an idea. There's just something about the Spirit of God as he moves into my spirit, and my spirit and the Spirit of God begin to commune and agree. A believer, a true child of God, we sense when the Spirit of God is moving in our spirit. Then that alone is not permission for you to jump out of the boat. If it be you, bid me come. Peter wasn't getting out of that boat until he heard Jesus say, come on, Peter. And then when Peter heard Jesus say, come, based on Jesus' word, he gets out and begins to walk on that water. So as the Lord moves in your spirit, you want to find confirmation in the word of God. Pastor, am I really going to find confirmation in the word of God in every area of my life? Absolutely. Now, it may not say buy a Ford. God would never say that. I drive one. I'm just kidding you. Do I drive more than one? No, I drive a Ford, a Chevy, and a Toyota. The triune God, right? Just kidding. But God will confirm, and that word will just leap off the page and leap in your mind. And when you get the word of God, Then you step out of the boat to go to Jesus. And when those waves blow and those circumstances become so what they are, and you feel completely weightless and vulnerable, you have the Word of God that you're taking those steps on. And my friend, when you walk on the water like that, the Christian life is awesome. The other reality is walking on the water is not about you. It's all about the glory of God. We talked about last Sunday night about how God allows opportunities to walk on the water when the seas are rough. We were on the ocean last Sunday night after church. We went out and went fishing. And it was the flattest I've seen the ocean in a long time. And except for the fact that we kept hooking sharks, I would have tried to walk on the water. But there were big sharks out there, and they were right by the boat. And if you've ever seen the ocean flat, literally, and you're out there a couple of miles, it just looks like a big piece of glass floating on the water. And that's what the ocean looked like. Usually, Jesus doesn't show up in our lives in the flat waters. Usually, when Jesus shows up into our lives to step out of the boat, the seas are kind of tossed. It's just not a good time right now, God. Do you know how, can I say stupid? Is that okay? Do you know how stupid it would be to say to the one that created time who lives outside of time that it's not a good time? Well, it's just not a good time right now, God. Can you imagine what God thinks about that? Aren't you glad he's so kind and gracious? It's just not. Normally, that's when God calls. Now, and hear me now. Here's the reality. Was it Jesus' intention to drown Peter? No. It was Jesus' intention to enlarge Peter. And so when Jesus said, "Come on, Peter," in the mind and heart of Jesus, now just think about this, perfectly safe. In the boat, awesomely scary. But in the mind of Jesus, in the heart of Jesus, he's standing on water, man. Come on, Peter. Ain't gonna hurt you. Come on. Walk to me. And so many times in our lives, when God calls you and I to step out in some area and to trust him, to walk with him, in the boat, it looks horribly scary. But in the heart and mind of the Lord Jesus, it's perfectly safe. Now, I got a question for you. Now comes this. Who do I trust more? Do I trust my mind, my vision, and my experiences? Do I trust the voices in the boat? Or do I trust my Savior and his word? So is it okay to say, I don't want to say stupid again, but stupid. Jesus is there. The boat is there. The waves are blowing. The one who created the waves, who's standing on top of the waves, who's all powerful, is telling you to come to me. Why would you not get out of the boat? What possibly would I be afraid of? So Peter gets out of the boat, and he begins to make his way there. Now understand, he sees the waves, and he begins to sink. But even in sinking, Jesus was there to hear the cry for help. And the cry for help came immediately. And as Peter is going down, Jesus reached out and grabbed him. There's been times that God's called me to step out by faith and do something. And I've walked, and all of a sudden I've realized, wait a minute. I don't have the money for this. Wait a minute. What in the world am I doing? Wait a minute. I'm walking on the water. I got to get back in that boat. And I take my eyes off the Lord. And I begin to sink. And then when I begin to sink and I realize I'm in trouble and I realize, oh, man, Lord, I took my eyes off you. I stopped trusting you. Lord, you got to help me. And the Lord reaches up and he grabs Peter and he brings him back into the boat. And then the address to Peter is, oh, thou of little faith. I don't think it's a scolding there. I mean, be careful not to scold Peter. His little faith enabled him to physically walk on the water. What's your faith enabled you to do? Right? So these are some realities that take place when we're walking on the water. Today I want to give you some requisites or some resolve. Write these four things down to help you as well. Number one, if I'm going to walk on the water, then I'm going to have some resolve to do it. And there's some requisites for this. First off, the desire to get to Jesus must be greater than the fear of the unknown. The desire to get to Jesus. Now, I understand, I know Jesus lives inside of us. I know that we've been indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. I know that. But we're talking about the Lord Jesus calling me to do something that's outside of the sameness and the mundane and mediocrity of my life. Calling me to do something that I don't have the ability to do. Calling me to something greater than is even humanly possible, but yet it's God's plan and God's will for me. And so in order for me to be able to walk on the water, a resolve has to develop within me and a requisite has to do this. And so I've got to determine in my mind, what do I fear more? What do I want more? And the desire to be with Jesus has to be greater than the fear of the unknown. And so look what Jesus said here to Peter at verse number 29, verse 28, yeah, 28, he said, come. When Peter was come down in the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. That was the thing that the Lord Jesus enabled him to do. Peter's request was, bid me come unto thee. And so many times the enemy will use fear to back me away from God's best. And really and truthfully, the biggest fear that he uses is what might happen, or the fear of the unknown. And until your desire gets to the point where I don't care what it takes, I don't know how I'm going to make it, I don't really have an answer for what I'm doing other than I believe this is what God wants me to do. He has confirmed it in his word to me. And I believe that I have stepped out of the boat of my life and I'm walking on the water or the word of God. And really and truthfully, I'm not sweating the details as much as the desire to get to Jesus is. And so inevitably somebody's going to ask you, but what if this happens? How do you respond to that? Well, you respond to that by saying this, that's Jesus's problem. And by the way, there ain't a problem in my life that Jesus can't meet. Right? So many people are afraid of the unknown. Ah, man. if I just kind of knew what to expect, if you knew what to expect, you would never get out of the boat. God doesn't share with you what he's going to tell you to do or what the expectation is going to be. God just wants you to keep your eyes and your trust upon him. And so that desire has to be there. It reminds me of Esther. You remember when Esther went in front of the king and her great quote there in Esther chapter 4? She said, listen, you guys pray and you guys fast. I'm going in here. And if I perish, I perish. She's saying, I don't understand what's going to happen, but I know this is what God wants me to do. Let's just be truthful about some things. You and I are not God. And I understand that we want to know some certain things, but we're not able to know things. If you really knew, if you look back over your life and you really knew what all God would bring you through or God would call you to do or God, most of us would be scared out of our mind, but yet God has been faithful and God will be faithful again. How do you know that? Because God's been faithful to me. So let me ask you a question. Are you supposed to be a missionary? But you've been scared as to what the unknown. Is there something that God's been calling you? It's been in your spirit. It's gnawing at you. And the very fact that you just don't know how you would ever leave this job and do this. You don't know how you could ever be sustained that. You got all these little problems. It just doesn't seem like a good time. And there's this vast black hole of unknownness there. And so that's just keeping you in your little safe, secure little boat. Well, I got news for you. You can sit there and you can rock your whole life, but you serve a big God who absolutely knows everything about you, knows everything about your tomorrow, knows everything that there ever is to know, and he's called you to do this. It's safe to go to him. So many people are scared of the unknown. Number two. A requisite for walking on the water is you got to be willing to look foolish. You got to be willing to look foolish. When Peter took his step out of the boat, what do you think those people in the boat said? You're an idiot. You're stupid. You're out of your mind. Peter must have been some kind of laughing stock. You know, I was on my way. I was traveling yesterday and I was listening to a program and they were talking about tween girls. I was on a Christian radio station. And 8 years old to 12 years old, and how the devil is just having a field day in the hearts and minds of our 8 and 12 year old girls. And they talked about the power of acceptance. And they talked about to what lengths our youth are going to, so that they don't feel embarrassed, or so that they don't feel isolated, and so that they feel some kind of acceptance. It's interesting how the human spirit needs acceptance. It's interesting how the human spirit hates to be at the forefront, or hates to be thought a failure, or hates to be laughed at. It wants inclusion, it wants acceptance, it wants that type of security. And even when it comes to following the Lord sometimes, people don't want to do things because they don't want to be made a laughingstock to their family. They don't want to be made a laughingstock to the community. They don't want to look foolish. I'm seeing some of your faces out here right now, and I know your story, and I'm thinking there had to be moments when God called you to do something when you looked foolish. I'm thinking about Trisha Dow back there. Had to look foolish when you went as a single lady and told your family, "I believe God wants me to foster a baby." Had to look foolish when you went back and said, "I believe God wants me to adopt a baby." But do we believe that's what God wanted us to do? Amen? Don't look foolish now. To God be the glory. Boy, I could call out some other stories. I know your stories. You're like, please don't do that. You think Noah looked kind of foolish? What are you building? An ark, huh? An ark. What's an ark? It's a boat. What's a boat? Kind of big. Yeah. Why are you building it? It's going to rain. Rain. What's rain? Rain's when water's going to fall from the sky. You're an idiot. Water don't fall from the sky. Water comes up from the ground. No. God told me it's going to rain. By the way, if God tells you it's going to rain, it's going to rain. You're an idiot. I understand. You might think that, but I believe I know what God's called me to do. And by the way, when it began to rain, he didn't look too foolish, did he? Abraham, you got your wood, you got your fire, you got your knife. Where's your lamb? Kind of foolish, right? But it wasn't foolish. If you're not willing to endure some persecution, if you're not willing to look foolish, then you're not willing to get out of the boat. By the way, God takes the foolish things and confounds the wise. Number three. There must be a commitment to Jesus. You're not going to walk on the water unless there's a commitment to Jesus. So when you look at this, Peter said in verse 28, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come on the water. And really and truthfully, Peter had already made up his mind. Lord, if it's you and you give me permission, I'm coming to you. It wasn't like Peter had to be talked into it. Now stay with me and think. You didn't pay good money in those seats not to think. It wasn't where he was double-minded. And it wasn't where he made a last-minute decision. Lord, if it be thou, bid me come. Basically, what Peter is saying, the moment he says come, I'm out of here. So Peter had made his commitment to Jesus. And here's the rubber. So powerful was that commitment that Jesus made a commitment to Peter. So Peter is in the boat. And Peter says, if you give me permission, I'm coming. Already made up my mind. I'm committed. I'm going to where you are. Jesus, knowing everything, knows the heart and mind of Peter and knows the validity of that commitment. I love what one writer said. Not until our faith is such that God can have faith in our faith is there victory. Wow. Not until our faith is such that God can have faith in our faith is there victory. So Jesus says to Peter, come. Permission, promise. Get out of the boat. Permission. Promise, come to me. By the way, if Jesus says you're going to survive something, you're going to survive it. Okay? Think. Permission, promise. I submit to you that Jesus knew Peter was all in. Many times, God's people are not able to walk on the water because you're not all in. And a double-minded man is unstable. So at church, I make all these promises and these commitments, but God knows my heart. And God knows I'm not all in. I'm holding tremendous fear, tremendous reservation. I know it's you. I know you're calling me. But I just don't know that I'm hesitant here. I'm saying the right things, but I've also got plan B and plan C. And I've got some other options work. Now, Lord, if you could just smooth it a little bit. No. Jesus knew Peter was committed in his heart, and Jesus issues permission, and Jesus issues promise. A lot of times, we get out of that boat, but we're not committed, and so that first leg goes down, and my second leg's hanging on the boat, and so I'm back into the boat. That's not how you walk with God. When God calls you to do something, he calls you to be all in. Pastor, how do I know if I'm all in? You don't have a plan B. You don't have a plan B. If you have plan B, you're not all in. Pastor, help me with that because you're choking me. What's plan B? When you say plan B, what do you mean? I mean this. I'm going to do this, but if this goes south, I have this to count on. You're going down.
Anybody ever experienced that? You're going down. You ain't walking on the water. You have plan B. Walking on the water is not going to Jesus. Peter didn't think he had the boat. Evidence of this, when Peter went down, he didn't say, "Throw me a lifeline. Help me, fellas." When Jesus went down, or when Peter went down, who'd he turn to? No plan B. Jesus was the only plan he had. Boy, that's good preaching. I'm hearing it. I'm excited about it. So many people have a plan B. It's not how you walk on the water. Lastly, a prerequisite is you got to take the first step. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. How do you take a long trip? One step at a time. The longest trip begins with one little step. What's a walk? Just a series of steps. One foot in front of the other. I would like to tell you that the first step is the hardest, but I would be lying to you. Physically or spiritually, when you walk on the water, I think every step's hard. Every step's got danger. Every step. So here's what I will tell you. I don't know how far Jesus was to Peter that night from the boat. If Peter was a true Baptist, I'm sure he said, "Could you come a little closer?" And I don't know how far Peter made it. But I do know this. He took that first step. And there was no plan B. There was, "I'm going to Jesus." And when he hit that water, he took another step. And he took another step. Can you imagine what must be going through his mind? And then somewhere, and I'll get to this in the series, he saw the wave coming and he got afraid. And listen to me. Fear is always going to sink you. It's never going to float you. Fear is never going to float you. It's always going to sink you. Faith will float you. Fear, the moment you let it creep in and the moment you begin to doubt Jesus and the moment that you begin to think that it's too heavy to carry. That's why the only person we need to fear is to fear the Lord, and then we're to walk by faith in that. But you got to take the first step. So let me ask you a question. You know God is moving in your spirit. You know he's confirmed his will in his word. You know it. And he's saying, "Come on, come on." The commitment level in you is, "What am I going to do?" Well, I promise you, there hath not failed one word of all that he promised. And so if God's called you to do it, you can walk on his word to him. But you got to take that first step. "Pastor, I am scared out of my mind to take that first step." Okay, then the best help I can give you is, spend some time in the Word of God. Stop sitting at the kitchen table with your pencil and your calculator and trying to work the numbers. Am I the only Christian that whenever I do a budget, I'm discouraged? Stop trying to work the numbers. Get in the book. And read about the one calling you. I don't know how we're going to make it, but I'm walking. Let's walk on the water. Shall we pray?